The meeting for January 12, 2015, to order, regular meeting 2015-01. Will you all stand for the flag salute, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Madam Clerk, roll call.
Ms. Becker?
Here.
Ms. Train?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Ms. Bledeszewski?
Here.
Mr. Keel?
Here.
Mr. Nankervis?
Here.
Ms. Troll?
Here.
Ms. White?
Here.
Mayor Sanford?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. If everybody would speak up a little bit tonight, my ears are plugged up and so I can't hear very good. And Ms. Becker is going to read a proclamation for me. But first of all, let me call some of these people up. So we have a proclamation from the mayor and assembly on National Mentoring Month. And if I can have Lauren Fullerton, Cheeto Rye, Joe Clark, Andy Post, Lena Gilbertson. These are all Big Brother, Big Sister staff who work with our kids in the community and that. So, Ms. Becker?
Okay, thank you. Whereas studies have shown that young people who receive guidance and support from a caring adult are less likely to resort to violence, abuse drugs or alcohol, and drop out of school, yet more inclined to make positive choices, fulfill their potential, and go on to higher educational studies. And whereas Big Brothers Big Sisters is one of the oldest and most successful youth mentoring programs in the nation, originally organized in 1904 and chartered by the United States Congress in 1958, and whereas in Juneau, Big Brothers Big Sisters of Alaska has been matching local at-risk youth with caring adult mentors since 1979, offering a variety of mentoring programs, including a community-based program, a school-based program, a program at the Johnson Youth Center, and a program serving youth transitioning out of the foster care system. And whereas Big Brothers Big Sisters in Juneau is supported by individual and corporate donations, grants from foundations and governmental agencies, serving nearly 200 children, youth in 2013. And whereas a national coalition for mentoring programs has created National Mentoring Month as a means to recruit adult mentors for the estimated 16 million American children who need or want one. And in Juneau, Big Brothers Big Sisters provides the opportunity for adults to mentor children and youth. And whereas this month provides an opportunity to thank current and past volunteer mentors for their dedication in making a difference in child youth's life and for others to consider the benefits of mentoring. Now, therefore, I, Meryl Sanford, Mayor of the City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, on behalf of the City and Borough Assembly, do hereby proclaim January 2015 as National Mentoring Month in Juneau, Alaska, and call upon the people of Juneau to recognize the importance of mentoring, to look for opportunities to serve as mentors in their communities, and to celebrate this month with appropriate activities and programs. In witness whereof, I hereby set my hand and cause the seal of the City and Borough of Juneau to be affixed this 12th day of January 2015. Meryl Sanford, Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. And how many other people in the room have either been Big Brothers, Big Sisters, or mentors in our classes?
Wow.
I know that there's a lot of us. And we truly appreciate what this organization does for our young people in our communities. The more we have one-on-one with kids and young people, I think the better off our kids and young people will be and are being. So it's a great thing to see that all the different people that have helped. And currently we have these five people up here with us. So thank you very much. Who gets the certificate?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good work.
Well done.
Keep up your good work.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, just for clarification, do we have somebody here from the exchange students program and the group? Do we have somebody who can introduce these young people to us?
Yep.
You can either stand or sit there.
I was hoping for a few more students, so I was hanging out in the lobby. It was the official greeting committee tonight. My name is Sue Baxter, and I am co-chair of the Sister Cities Committee. Something we like to do every year is to have the exchange students here in Juneau meet the assembly and have the assembly meet them, and then also the school board, and that will happen tomorrow night.
Right. Okay. So what I'd like to do is to ask, we have students here from two different programs tonight, from the YES program and from AFS. Rotary students are here in Juneau also, but they must have been busy today. So I think we'll have the YES students go first and then AFS, and students would like to introduce themselves to you.
Hello, my name is Christina. I'm from Palestine. I'm with the YES Exchange program, and I go to JDHS. And something that I really like about Juneau is the gallery walks every first Friday of the month. So, thank
nice.
You for having me here.
Hello, my name is Mohammed Samour, and I'm from Egypt, and I go to Thunder Mountain High School. And the thing that I really like about Juneau, Alaska, is it's totally different than my back home. Everything is totally different. That's really different experience, different life. Everything is different, and I have tried a lot of things that I have never tried before, like fishing. I have never seen snow before, so
wow.
It was so interesting. Yeah, cool. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Assam Bazil, and I'm a part of YES program, and I'm from Pakistan, and I live in Talagang. It's a small town near Islamabad, the capital of Pakistan, and I go to Thunder Mountain High School. And basically, now I'm supposed to talk about only, they asked me to talk about only one thing I really liked about Juneau. One thing, seriously. Honestly, I have a lot to talk about, like, a lot, seriously, but I don't have enough time, so don't worry about it. This is just, Juneau is awesome. I'm really living a dream here. I'm super, super lucky to be a part of such a generous and humble community, but what I thought about America was just like New York City's. And a New York City, Los Angeles, then I will go to my high school in America and everyone will be dancing and singing and stuff like that. But when I came here, I realized it was like it's the same thing. Not really, but like it's the same thing. Like it's totally not like that. But honestly, it's a really positive experience. I have seen snow before, but I have never lived in a place where we have snow, like every day. I was so excited to see snow, but honestly, I don't like snow anymore.
Yeah.
and no rain either. Rain. I'm just tired of it. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much, guys.
Hello, my name is Maria Jesus Tartari. I'm from Chile, and I'm with the AFS program. And, like, the same that he said, like, Juno is awesome, and I'm going to Deity, and the teachers really care about this, their students, and like that make my stay here easier on the school, because second language is like, I would have failed in all the classes, but with the teachers, like, really make me, like, comfortable here. So, yeah.
Yeah, hello. My name is Selena, and I'm from Germany. And I'm also attending JDHS like Maria, and I thought that we should talk about JDHS and not about Juno. So a good thing about JDHS, what I really like, is the subjects, that there are so many things, and you can do choir. I'm doing choir, ceramics, the fun classes, and and then this different clubs or sports. This year is not enough to try everything out, and I just want to try everything out. There's CDF or track and field, and then cheerleading, and there's also musical, what I'm doing now. I'll come to Xanadu last weekend in January. It's really a fun musical, and it's really fun. And so Juno, what I really like is also that it's so unique, and I think I would never had the opportunity to come to Alaska otherwise than now. And doing other stuff I wouldn't do in Germany, or just experience myself. Yeah.
Hi everyone, my name is Martin Gonzalez. I'm from Chile. Really, what I like from Juno, everything. It's completely different. I'm from a city called Rancagua in Chile. It's a big city. I really like here, like, the wildness. How is it? I remember, like, the first time when I saw, like, a group of squirrels, I just went, like, ran behind them. I was so excited about it. Yeah, it's completely different. I really love it. I really love, like, the experience in the school, because how says Selena is, you can do a lot of stuff, a lot of different stuff, like choir, a lot of sports, and yeah, I love Juno. Thanks.
Thank you, Assembly, very much for having us today, and thank you all the students for coming, and I'll see you tomorrow at 6 o'clock at the school board meeting.
We had exchange students also, 3 or 4 or 5 of our year, and we have lasting relationships with those people and the families and host families that support these different programs, and it's pretty neat to see us learn about the different countries and have this whole exchange. It's really important, and it's a good thing that the exchange things do for us.
That's the reason. Stand up.
The assembly members need to stand up.
Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to make the hand signal.
I stand up.
Okay.
We don't fight hard.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
We have to move down.
Squish in.
Squish in.
Clump up.
Clump up.
Yeah, come on, come on. Come on.
Anybody else? You're a pen?
Yeah. I'm going to keep it down there.
No, well, I need
I don't
it here.
Know. I might want to put one in my desk.
That's for
you're in a clerk's office all day.
I'm going to leave this one here and somebody else will take it.
Okay, I'll wait a minute or two here while whoever wants to leave can leave.
Bail.
Okay, the next item on the, we don't have any other special orders, do we, that anybody knows?
I'm aware of.
Okay, we'll move forward to approval of minutes. We have before us the December 22nd, 2014, regular assembly meeting 2014-29. Are there any corrections? Is there any objections to their approval? Seeing and hearing none, so ordered. Public participation on non-agenda items. We have several people who are signed up for... Why do I always skip that?
I don't know. You don't want to talk.
Manager's request for agenda changes. Madam Manager?
None, thank you.
Thank you. Public participation on non-agenda items. We have Mandy Cole first. And then we will have Kyle Moselle. And then after Kyle will be Mary Ellison. So if you would come up and sit at the table and give us your name and address and give us your spiel.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Assembly. My name is Mandy Cole. I live at 8721 North Loop Way. And I am here today to talk to you about the Project Homeless Connect that's coming up this month here in Juneau. Each year, and now every other year, the Juneau Coalition on Housing and Homelessness sponsors an event for people experiencing homelessness or at risk of homelessness in our community. And we provide this experience kind of a one-stop shop so that people experiencing homelessness can get some services, but also can participate in a survey. And we use the results of that survey to really understand who's homeless and what we can do to help them here in Juneau. And this project is replicated throughout Alaska, and our data kind of goes together in the state, and then the state produces a report so we can understand kind of what Alaska looks like as a whole. And in the past, assembly members have joined us for that day. You're welcome. This is your official invitation to please join us. We will be at the Jack this year on January 28th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And you are welcome to come and stop by. You're welcome to see the services and the booths that we provide. We provide everything from haircuts to medical services to ID assistance, getting your ID and other kind of vital statistics, records, things like that. And then we also have good food, and I think it's a really fun event, and it gives you an opportunity to be a part of Juneau that we aren't necessarily always a part of, and to meet the people in your community who you are helping with these projects that have come before the assembly recently, including the Housing First project. So I'm hoping that everyone will have the opportunity to stop by, and a few of us will be there, and we'll gladly take you on a little guided tour so that you can meet the providers and meet some of the participants.
All right. Thank you. Mandy, are there any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And next we'll have Kyle Moselle. Good evening, Kyle.
Thank you, Mayor. This is a little embarrassing. I thought that was a sign-in sheet, so I didn't know I was signing up to talk. So I'll just take this opportunity to thank you all for your public service, and I think you're all doing a great job on the assembly.
Hey! Can you sign up again?
Good recovery, Kyle. And you get an A+. Mary Ellison.
Not just me, if that's okay, but I brought my collaborators with me. My name is Mary Ellison. I live at 8170 North Douglas, and I'm going to start with what I like about Juneau, too, I guess, inspired by you. I
I've been working for the last 3 years on a new plan, homelessness, and have interviewed over 60 people in this community, people who have been homeless, are homeless, city leaders like the mayor and the city manager, business people, school district employees, and my collaborators behind me, Shauna Strausser from Perseverance and Florlina Lagandino from Generator Theater, are helping put on this play that we open, starting with a preview Wednesday. I am really grateful to all the people that I've met on my journey, and that doesn't just include the people I've interviewed. Scott Schomber, it will be helping lead post-show discussions as a member of the Homeless Coalition. Mandy, there's a lot of people here. Play is really inspired by many voices in this community, and we really want to invite you and encourage you to come. And I want to introduce Florlino and Shauna now. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Shauna Strausser, and I live at 5795 Thane. And I do a lot of plays and work at Perseverance, and I just finished doing Chicago over there, and it was super fun. And in my whole time of doing plays, since I was a little girl, I have never thought a play was more important than the show I'm working on right now. So I invite you all to come, please. It's amazing. We're really learning so much. It's a bunch of stories from people that you may not have heard from before. So.
Thank you, Sean.
Hi, my name is Florlino Lagandino. I live at 3 Fremont Street in Providence, Rhode Island, actually. I came back here to Juneau to help produce this show with Generator Theater Company. Generator Theater Company is a producing organization that really supports the artists, and Mary came to me with this project 3 years ago, and I really feel like it's an important a story. These stories are really important for us all to hear. I personally, she talks about in the play, she was learning a lot about homelessness and didn't know much about it. I feel like I'm in kind of the same boat. I've learned a lot about the things that are happening here in Juneau, but also around the country. Also, our production is at McFeeters Hall, January 14th to 25th, and this coming Sunday we have a special production at 2 p.m. where we're going to be donating half of the proceeds to Housing First. So thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Any questions for these young people?
I think what I didn't say also is that we talked a lot with people whose lives intersect with homelessness, those who are really committed to the various issues. That's half the play. And the other thing I love about Juneau, I guess when I started this journey, it's been really frustrating, complicated, and a lot of gratefulness in it, and that I am more grateful now than ever that I have chosen to make Juneau my home. So thank you, and thanks for your work here.
All right. Thank you, guys. Okay, then we had two other people who were signed up for 2014-50 and 2014-50B. So when we get to those, we will hear testimony from those two people. Okay, public participation is closed. We'll move to the consent agenda. Is there anybody from the public who requests for consent agenda changes other than ordinances for introduction? Does anybody in the public wish to pull an item off of the consent agenda? Is what that meant. Seeing none. That part is closed. Assembly requests for consent agenda changes? Seeing none. Assembly action. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move we adopt the consent agenda and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objections? Seeing none, the consent agenda for tonight has been adopted. So all the way down past the resolutions and transfers is completed. And now, including the liquor license, long list of liquor licenses, we'll move into the public hearing process. And the first one is Ordinance 2014-24S. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $64,282 as funding for the implementation of the Police Canine Program at Juneau Police Department $48,091 in grant funding provided by the United States Department of Justice Drug Enforcement Agency grant and a $16,191 match provided by the Roaded Service Area Fund Balance Asset Forfeiture Reserve.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. City Manager, report.
The grant funding provides for the purchase, travel, training, and maintenance of a police canine through September 30, 2015. The canine will be utilized for controlled substance introduction, investigation, and enforcement operations. The police canine will be assigned to a current officer at the Juneau Police Department. Overtime costs incurred upon startup of the program and continued canine upkeep for the grant period will be paid by funds in the asset forfeiture account. The amount appropriated for FY15 is $16,191. Excuse me. The Assembly Finance Committee reviewed this request at its November 12, 2014 meeting and recommended forwarded to the full Assembly for approval. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. That brings us down to public comment. Is there anybody in the public who wishes to comment on Ordinance 2014-24S?
I do have one quick question.
24S, if you want to make a question, come on up here. We need it up here, Ben, because it records. So give your name and address, please.
Hello, my name is Benjamin Wilcox. I live at 125 Wire Street, Juneau, Alaska. And just a quick question, is this dog going to be in any way trained to interdict marijuana? Because I know the state is having an issue with their dogs being trained with marijuana and looking for funding to acquire new dogs. So are you going to spend money on a dog that you're just going to have to re-spend next year? That's my question.
I'm looking at the police chief, and he is saying no.
Okay. Anybody else from the public who... Name and address, please.
Good evening. My name is Kevin Higgins. I live at 152 Barrons Avenue. I also have a question more than a comment. It has to do with whether the plan is to have records kept related to the reliability of the dog, the dog's error rate, you know, what the intent is with regard to use of the dog in schools, just a more fuller idea than is it a good idea to have a dog that can sniff drugs.
Madam Manager?
I'll ask the police chief to come up and answer those questions.
Yes, you do have to keep records of when the dog indicates what those rates are. All those things are put into a packet for the dog. That's how you establish reliability of the dog. So the dog will have to be certified before it's used and show a ability to indicate on the substances. And then once it's in use, we would keep a record of all those things. That would be part of its public record, which were available. The second question was about using the dog in schools. The only plan right now is to use a dog in school for demonstration purposes. In the past, I've had a dog in schools, and we show school kids how the dog works and what it does. There is no policy in place with the school district to run it through the school and look for drugs. And we don't have any agreement to do that right now. So right now, only the demonstrations at schools.
Thank you. Do you have any other questions?
Yeah,
thank you. Okay. Thank you, sir. Is there anybody else from the public who wishes to give us comment on this ordinance? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action. Ms. Becker?
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move we adopt Ordinance 2014-24-S and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. We'll move on to Ordinance 2014-24-Y. Madam Clerk, title, please.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $50,000 as funding for Phase 1 of the Amalga Harbor Fish Cleaning Station Project. Grant funding provided by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
Thank you. Madam Manager, report.
Yes, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game is providing funding for the purpose of determining the most appropriate and feasible fish cleaning station in Malaga Harbor. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game Cooperative Agreement grant is in the amount of $50,000 for phase one of the project that would include planning, design, and permitting if applicable, and determining the most appropriate and feasible fish cleaning station at Malaga Harbor. It is anticipated that the Alaska Department of Fish and Game would amend the cooperative agreement for construction funding if a feasible solution is vetted through the phase one process. The Docks and Harbors Board reviewed this recommendation at its December 11, 2014 meeting and recommended forward into the full assembly for approval. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment on this ordinance? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action.
I move adoption of ordinance 2014-24Y and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections from the assembly members? Seeing none, so ordered. Madam Clerk, ordinance 2014-24Z.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $650,000 as funding for the new waste management baler project, funding provided by the Waste Management Fund Balance and the Waste Management Fleet Reserve.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Madam Manager, report.
Yes, these funds would be used to purchase and install a new industrial recycling baler at capital disposal. $450,000 would be of the funding would be provided by the Waste Management Fund Balance, and $200,000 would be provided by the Waste Management Fleet Reserve. The Public Works and Facilities Committee reviewed this transfer at its December 8, 2014 meeting and recommended forwarding to the full assembly for approval. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. We'll open this up for public comment. If there's anybody in the public who wishes to comment on ordinance 2014-24Z, please step forward. Seeing none, public comment is closed. Move forward to assembly action. Ms. Gladyszewski.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move ordinance 2014-24Z and ask for unanimous consent.
Thank you, ma'am. Is there any objections to that? Seeing none, ordinance 2014-24Z is approved. We'll move forward. Madam Clerk, please read the title for ordinance 2014-48B.
An ordinance amending the administration code relating to the appeal process for civil violations.
City Manager, report.
Yes, this is a housekeeping ordinance to correct an inconsistency in the civil fine citation appeal timeline specified in CBJ 0330075 and 0330085. Under the current code, an appeal must be filed within 20 days of the issuance of the citation. However, if the citation is not paid within 30 days, the CBJ sends a notice that the appeal will be accepted if the individual presents evidence that he or she did not receive the notice of violation. This ordinance clarifies that the timely notice of appeal must be received within 30 days of the citation issuing and allows for a process by which the hearing officer may accept a late filed appeal upon satisfactory showing that the original citation had never been received. This ordinance would also amend CBJ 0330 to allow the hearing officer some discretion in reducing fine amounts in the interest of justice unless prohibited from doing so by ordinance. Version B in your packet and amends the ordinance from the version introduced by replacing an or within with an unless in section 0330070. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. And we will open up ordinance 2014-48B to the public. Is there anybody who wishes to testify on this ordinance? Seeing none, public comment is closed, and we will move forward to assembly action. Ms. Troll.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we pass ordinance 2014-48B and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Madam Clerk, could you please read the title for ordinance 2014-50?
An ordinance imposing a limited moratorium on the receipt or processing of applications, permits, or pending approvals pertaining to marijuana establishments.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Madam Manager?
On November 4, 2014, Alaskans voters approved a ballot measure related to the legalization of marijuana. The initiative, which goes into effect on February 24, 2015, allows the state 9 months to enact regulations concerning the registration and oversight of marijuana establishments, defined by the initiative as marijuana cultivation, testing and product manufacturing facilities, and marijuana retail stores. The initiative requires the state to begin accepting and processing applications for the registration of marijuana establishment within 1 year of the effective date of the act. The initiative authorizes local governments to enact legislation concerning the time, place, and manner related to the operation of registered marijuana establishments. For example, hours of operation, allowable locations, and limitations on the number of establishments allowed within the municipality. The purpose of the moratorium is to allow the CBJ time to consider and enact legislation concerning the operation of marijuana establishments in the CBJ. The moratorium is set to expire within 1 year of adoption, which is after the state is required to enact regulations given the fact that it may become necessary to coordinate our local legislation with the state's regulatory scheme, but before the time the state is required to begin processing applications. The Lands Committee heard this ordinance at its December 29, 2014 meeting and recommended forwarding to the full assembly for approval. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. I will open us up for public comment. And we have Mr. Ben Wilcox first. And Mr. Wilcox, did you want to do the next one too, or?
I can.
No, I want you to just do one at a time here because we're only working above it. But I will make sure I call you back up, okay? Thank you.
All right. And again, my name is Benjamin Wilcox. I live at 125 Wire Street, Juneau, Alaska. And I am a father, a husband, a homeowner, a taxpayer, and of last Saturday, I've called Juneau my home for 20 years. For the whole of that time, I have been a trusted server of a drug in this community. I've done it with full state permission. That drug is alcohol. I've served a number of you here that drug. Well, now I'd like to serve marijuana in this community. As a father, I hope the city does all it can to expedite the growth of this new industry so that this substance is in the control of people like myself and those I've worked with for the last two decades who take a little bit of care in who does and who doesn't consume, what state they're in, whether they should be driving, all of those things that, you know, any black market would not consider. The longer this industry is hindered, the longer that substance stays in control of those who don't follow any zoning rules, who don't ask for ID, who don't care what state the person's in, when they consume, and what state they are, and when they leave. So, simply, the quicker you get this done, the quicker it's going to be dealt with responsibly, and the less hurdles we're going to have to jump over, and the less entrenched the new gray market will be. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wilcox. Are there any questions for Mr. Wilcox? Seeing none. We have Mr. Peterson. Did you want to talk to this one, to this ordinance, or to the next one?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It'll be to the next one.
Thank you, sir. So we will. Anybody else want to wish to talk to this one? Is that all three? I saw three. We're adding hands every time, people. So. What I want you to do, Madam Clerk, if you could take this. Never mind, I will. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, I'm Devin Drones. I'm a sophomore at UAS. And I think it's real important to, you know, serve the people and how they voted. I'm speaking because I voted, along with the majority of Alaskans that voted for this. And to postpone what the people want and what the people have wanted for years is, I don't think it's the right thing to do. And I would really appreciate it if you would really consider just going for what the Alaskan people want. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? If you would, please just sit for a minute and we'll...
Sorry about that.
I want an explanation from our law department about what we're doing so that everybody here can understand what we're doing as far as not... We're not changing the time frame at all. It's what the law says right now, And that's what we're working towards, to get this done expeditiously.
There's a very small piece of the commercial business of marijuana establishments that this city and borough as a local municipality can legislate that is limited to zoning regulations. We have no ability to impede the forward process of the initiative or to stop the commercial business of marijuana from going forward. Those are dictated by the state law. The purpose of the moratorium, though, under our current zoning laws, businesses who want to open and operate eventually can come in and ask for, depending on where they want to locate, for a conditional use permit to be able to operate in different parts of the city, commercial businesses. Our zoning laws right now don't contemplate marijuana establishments. It might be that the Planning Commission and the Assembly want to consider where marijuana businesses should be located in the city in the interest of the citizens. That process is going to take a little bit of time. What the moratorium does is it tells everyone you cannot apply for a conditional use permit to operate a marijuana establishment at this time. We need some time to consider our zoning laws, and then you'll be able to follow that process. The moratorium does not impede your ability or anyone's ability to get a license under the state law. So it does not change the timelines that are imposed under the state law in any way whatsoever.
Okay. There are any questions, Mr. Holt?
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. It's actually more of a comment to build on the record in that the current law gives communities an opportunity to opt out, and that is not before the Assembly. We aren't going down that path. So we are trying to figure out what is the most deliberate, methodical way to proceed. So that's the question, not do we want to – we're all here to honor the vote. We're not trying to undo the vote.
Anything else from the Assembly?
I would add that I had posed a question to fellow assembly members because the moratorium was for 1 year, and I said, well, what if the legislature and the state agencies all get their act together and get this done in 6 months? Then what? And I was told that we could lift the moratorium. So I asked the same question.
Okay. Anything else? Thank you very much, sir.
All right, thank you.
And I guess just to fill everybody in, too, we're going to have a goal-setting retreat on Wednesday afternoon. And the marijuana issue for staff to work on is going to be addressed by the Assembly as a whole at that retreat and probably will be put on the record for CDD, Community Development Department, to work on that issue starting now and so that they're ready to go when it gets up to the year's time, whatever the time frames are. So just so everybody knows that. Let's see. Next one will be, and all these people that signed up want to sign up for this particular one right now? Okay. So Adam Berkeley. And Madam Clerk, if you'll give us 3 minutes on the clock, the rest of the people have 3 minutes to make their statements and that's the time frame. So
I'm going to try to be even quicker than that, Mayor.
Thank you.
I'm Adam Berkey. I live at 7099 Sunny Point Way. I'm a Juneau resident. I became slightly infamous this year as an elementary school teacher who admitted to medicinal cannabis use. I understand very much the speed of government. I understand that you've got things to do, and I don't get the feeling that you're trying to opt out of law any way, shape, or form. I didn't want to imply that. It's really nice talking to the Assembly and seeing people who move things in the city. It's great. I thank you very much for letting me speak to you. There's going to be people from business who are going to talk to you and talk to you about the reasons why this has got to be moved quickly. For me, it's purely medicinal, and it's purely just a request that you think of people like me. Even if you don't like people like me, think about people who are going through chemo right now. And because there is no medicinal infrastructure, really in Alaska, people who are currently going through chemo, getting their cards, are then asking, how do I get my medicine? They say, well, you can grow it in 3 months. doesn't serve. And so what ends up happening is people like me meet people with chemo in parking lots with cookies for free to try to help out any way you can, because it gets them eating and they need to eat. When you're thinking about this moratorium, please think about the medicinal side too, because we're in a weird place where medicinal is going to follow recreational, which is kind of the opposite of what's going on everywhere else. They kind of have a medicinal to follow. So please, for both sides, recreational, medicinal, please, speedy, speedy, speedy. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Seeing none, thank you. The next person is Gino Barrett, and then Kevin Higgins. And Mr. Higgins, if you'll come up here and stand here, we'll keep this flowing.
Hello, my name is Gino Barrett. I live at 327 Diston Avenue, downtown Gino here, and I am interested in starting a marijuana business. My interest is in cultivation and the distribution of products throughout the state. It's my belief that the 12-month moratorium is just too long. It gives us about 2 weeks to really prepare for the state when dealing with permitting. So I really feel like that's not enough time for us. Zoning is a big issue for us as well as a farm. We want to know where we can prospectively look into property and know that when we apply with the state, we have everything that we need in a row. So it does actually prolong our situation quite a bit when having to wait that long to figure out where the city is at with zoning. And we, you know, our situation at this farm that we're starting is that you don't believe in what's going on here. But we think that with all the research we've done and all the time that we've put into these issues, everything kind of falls into place when you really look into it. So I really believe that the city can put this together in a shorter amount of time than the 12 months. So I am opposed to the 12-month moratorium. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
I have a question. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Do you have a timeline that you would, you know, what's your ideal timeline?
You know, we've already been planning for about a year already, so we're really waiting step by step in what we can do and what we see we can do. Ideally, right there on that day, I'd like to have my permit in and handed in. So that gives us February 24th, 2016. That's 2 weeks from today. So what was the question?
You can put an application in with the state February 24th.
Sure.
Is that what you're saying?
Okay. Right. That's my belief anyway. This is all sort of speculation and how this is going to play out.
No.
But
right.
If we look at what Washington has done, and that's what sort of we're basing our business plan on roughly, we know that we are different than a metropolis like Seattle or Denver, if we want to use those as examples. We think that Juneau is really unique, you know, and we think that we have a chance to set sort of some guidelines for rural America if people want to look at it. So it is important we don't send also that message that we can stall this out and that we can figure this out and that there, you know, the pieces will fall into place, I believe. It does appear a lot more simple than it looks when you really look into the details, as we've done for a year and a half, 2 years now. So.
Okay.
Any other questions?
No.
Thank you, Mr. Barrett.
Thank you.
Mr. Higgins?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Again, my name is Kevin Higgins from 152 Barrons. One of the things that I'm concerned about is that starting out by saying we need a moratorium for 12 months, that you might run into the situation, you know, the retreats and the work groups that you guys have in mind aside, where deadlines motivate people. And what I don't want to see is in a spot where you've already passed an ordinance that says you've got 12 months. It makes more sense in my mind to pass ordinances for smaller periods of time to revisit the issue then to see where you are, or to include something in this ordinance that forms groups that actually, beyond we're going to go have a retreat and talk about it, that codifies in a way the intent to do something, to form a group, to form a task force. It doesn't seem like figuring out zoning issues is something that is going to take 12 months to do. I read Member Keel's comments, and it seemed that the implication there was that you need to be concerned that a shop selling retail marijuana might pop up in your neighborhood. I'm a trial attorney. I don't do much land use law, but thankfully I've got a you know, Westlaw subscription and the ordinances are online. And I didn't really understand the table of permissible uses to allow that kind of thing to go on unchecked as it is. So I think that if the city is firm in its commitment in, you know, close to 60% of the people of Juneau overall voting for this, and I don't think that 60% of the people in Juneau, again, rough estimates, voted to enact this legislation so that the city could then opt out of it, it doesn't make sense to say 12 months now, over this period, we'll try to figure it out. Because if the state doesn't get its act together, the city then needs, you know, will be in a good spot to have its own large plan in place to regulate this industry that's going to be emerging. Another problem, if you don't step up and if you don't put the framework in place for business, you know, the law-abiding part of this is going to be a bunch of decentralized small operations who are running high electric bills, who are dealing with large sources of power that are going to be in the neighborhoods. What you want to create is a centralized industry that people know where to go to get it, so they don't have to do this themselves, so that you don't have a bunch of guerrilla growers. You also need to undermine the black market, and that's 3 minutes. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Is there any questions for Mr. Higgins? Seeing none, thank you very much. Mr. James Barrett, and then Tracy LaBarge.
Hi, thank you. My name is James Barrett, a resident of Juneau for 7 years. I'm at 327 Diston Avenue. I'm also a regional director for the Coalition for Responsible Cannabis Legislation. We are opposed to this moratorium because we feel like it's much too hasty. 12 months is too much of a blanket period to just say we're not going to look at it for 12 months. I know there's a lot of planning to be done, and it's not looking at for 12 months, but you're actually saying you're not going to look at a permit for 12 months or an application for the land use exception. I also, with my brother here, plan on starting a business in town. We've been planning for a long time. With the moratorium, it really just gives us 2 weeks to know that the location that we have are prospecting or various locations, it'll work with the state guidelines. So it's a lot of time to invest to only know 2 weeks beforehand that you can apply for the state permit. So I say this moratorium is a little too far-reaching. I think that we should go from another angle, educate ourselves a little more about what we can do, but also as an assembly, be very proactive and lead the way. It's the capital city, so it's a chance to, instead of saying, we need 12 months, let's do it 3 months at a time, and let's be really a lot more comprehensive about this and look at it with more detail rather than this long 12-month period. I agree with Kevin in that it just puts it off too long. It's not too many details. It is complicated, but I don't believe it's too many details that can't be worked out in a shorter amount of time.
And I guess maybe I just want to reinforce one other thing here. This is not the only issue that we, the Assembly, are working on, and this is not the only issue that staff has to work on. So it's one of the many big issues that we're working on and trying to deal with and get accomplished in a timely manner. So I'm not going to promise you that we'll do it in 6 months or 7 months. This just gives us that headway to be able to work on it for a certain amount of time, and we may change that time. I don't know here. We'll see tonight. But there's more to all this. Some people are zeroed right in on this one situation to do, and that is not what we all have to do. We've got many, many things that are being accomplished and that we have to work on. I want to reiterate that to everybody. Ms. Troll.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As a person who's looking to get into the business, you can't really go forward until the state promulgates their regulations and decide to, you know, control it through the ABC board and all of that, correct?
Sure, yep.
So I'm not as close to the issue as you are, but I don't see the legislature doing that within 3 months. So they have to do their part first before we do our part. So you really think 3 months is a reasonable time frame?
I think that's a reasonable time frame to revisit the issue.
But as a business person, for you to put things into play, you realistically, let's say, even if we jumped on it and did mm-hmm. things because of the whole process laid out, aren't we looking at least a 6 month time frame?
Sure. It's building a facility. It takes a lot of work and time and planning. Let's say you are building a facility for the purpose of this business, and it required some sort of permitting from the city or a land use exception or something like that. Well, and you want to be on top of the market like everyone else is and have the start when the rest of the state does, it only gives you 2 weeks to know that the location you're working with will fit the needs for the permitting process. So, no, there is no, 3 months from now, we're not operating a business for sure, but this has to be planned out for a long time beforehand.
And so nobody's going to be operating a business in our community for a year, right, Madam Law Department?
The state initiative requires the state to begin accepting applications by right. February of 2016. It then says that the state does not need to begin approving license applications for another, I think it's 90 days, so it's around May.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Baird? Seeing none, thank you very much, sir. We'll move forward to Tracy. Good evening.
Hi, thank you. My name is Tracy LaBarge. I live at 2913 Blueberry Hills Road, and I'm a business owner in town. And I also would like to see a shorter time frame in enacting this legislation. I think they're right in saying that there's not enough time for people to plan. The fact is people are already planning for this business. We want to be able to get in and do business in a reasonable amount of time. And I know the city has other things to work on, so what I'd like to see, my request, is maybe an advisory committee, because I think a lot of people in this room could help you move that process forward and not make it maybe so tedious. And painful for you because I know you are busy, but I do appreciate the time that everybody has spent in working on this and listening and talking to us. And I just want to see Juneau become a forerunner in this. I want to see it done in a very responsible and classy way and continue to do business in this town. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. LaBarge. Is there any questions for Ms. LaBarge? Seeing none, thank you very much. And that's all we have on. Anybody else?
If I
might. You want to speak to this particular ordinance?
Yes.
It's the last one, people.
No, I got it. It's mine. Hello, my name's Zach Bowie. I live at 10401 Dock Street. Speaking to the time frame that we're looking at, I know that the business side of it itself, especially for a cultivation facility, can be moved along fairly quickly. I know that there are currently one legislator that has put forward an initiative to try to expedite the process by developing a marijuana regulatory commission as opposed to just heaping it onto the load that the ABC board already has. And there are also proponents who are currently moving forward legislation to allow cultivation facilities to receive permit applications before the current dates in order to try to work within the law to allow the business to start as soon as the initiative allows for it to. So I believe in this current legislative session, we're going to see a lot of things develop, especially just in the introduction of bills in the next couple of weeks, that will really speak to how fast the process is going to be moving forward. And I would agree with a six-month moratorium, given that you guys do need to be able to say, look, hey, no, we're not dealing with it right now as far as people calling in and asking for paper, or here, take this from me, or give me this application. But I do believe that a 12-month moratorium does make it so it's kind of a back burner sort of issue for the assembly, and there may be things to consider in the coming time that a six-month period would allow everybody to prepare and come back with something a little bit more substantive. And that's all.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Thank you very much, sir. Okay, public testimony is closed on 2014-50. B. Excuse me. 2014-50. And we will open it up for assembly action. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of Ordinance 2014-50, and I have an amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would propose an amendment on page 2 at line 11, which covers the moratorium period. And I would suggest the motion is to strike the words for 1 year from the effective date of this ordinance and replace with through October 19, 2015. And I'll speak to that if you folks have it. I see pens scribbling, so that's why I'm waiting.
Okay, Mr. Keel, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate the commentary from the public tonight, and I think that we've gotten some excellent feedback, some excellent suggestions from the folks who are here. I very much hope that we are not, as Mr. Higgins suggested, going to have to, as a city, move in lieu of the state. The initiative contemplates that if the state sort of balks. And if that were the case, I think we'd need a year and then some. I hope that doesn't happen. I don't think that will happen. I do believe, however, that as Mr. I think it's Bowie, I hope I heard that right, suggested, the legislature will make some adjustments to this initiative. The Constitution allows for amendments to an initiative, and I suspect that they will be a little more significant than just setting the distance from schools. I suspect that the legislature will have other tweaks that fall within what the Constitution allows. We as a city aren't going to know what those look like until the legislature is done on the 19th of April. So I chose October 19 for this amendment for the highly scientific reason that it's 6 months after April 19. And I think that gives our Planning Commission and the Assembly a little time, but not a whole lot of time, to come up with a full set of zoning regulations for this activity in our community. I certainly spoke out publicly in favor of this initiative, and it passed overwhelmingly in our community. But the simple fact is that our zoning laws now don't regulate marijuana like alcohol. They didn't contemplate marijuana being legal at all. And so when something new is going to be allowed in our community, we need to have conversations with folks from all walks of life about what kind of reasonable restrictions. One commenter called it classy, a classy approach. I like that. How are we going to do this in a classy way in Juneau? So I think 6 months from when we know what the legislature is going to do with this thing gives us a fairly reasonable but not a long time frame to get our zoning decisions made. And that then gives interested business people roughly 4 months before they can apply to the state of Alaska for a permit. Tack on another 3 months before they can start business. Is that tight for a major investment decision? Yeah, but I think it's probably doable. And so my proposal is that we use that time frame and get this process moving. I do think that we'll need to probably start our planning before the legislature's done, but we can't get into the nuts and bolts and deep nitty-gritty of it until we know what they do.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. And could I just get a feedback from staff on this, since the 1 year came from the law department, right?
So
how did we get to the 1 year?
It was based on nothing other than the date that the state was going to begin accepting applications. Okay. So there's no legal reason to keep it there or move it. It's okay. Purely a policy call for you to make.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Any other questions, comments?
Thank you, Mr. Becker. I just like...
Can I ask Mr. Steele or someone? I want clarification of what would be done October 19th. What would be allowed? What were you envisioning? Is that all right if I ask?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. To Ms. Becker's question, after October 19th, starting on the 20th, CDD, our Community Development Department, would begin taking land use applications under our new zoning laws that I envision we'll have in place then. So that any development period, or permit, excuse me, that would be covered by this moratorium until then, you could apply for then and start working with either staff, if it's department approval, or getting ready for the Planning Commission, if it's a conditional use permit. And we know that those sometimes take longer than we'd like them to.
But then they really cannot be official until the state says that it can be, which is at that year.
Go ahead, Mr. Keel.
I guess there's a little bit of imagining on my part here. I imagine that when the state takes marijuana business licenses in February of 16, they'll want a drawing of the premises, just like for a bar right now, they want a drawing that shows where the liquor is stored, or a package store, they want to see where the counter is. And so I imagine that they'll want that come February of 16, and hopefully, if we're done by October of 15, a business owner will be able to provide that on their application to the state. But until the state starts issuing marijuana business licenses, it won't much matter that you have a conditional use permit from the city to use your land. This just lets that process move forward toward what the state gives you.
Ms. Becker, anything else?
No, thank you.
Ms. Gadachevsky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And it's very complicated for a business owner trying to do this because the state might, as they do with alcohol, say there can only have X number of permits per Y number of population. So from us, from the city, they need to know where within zoning districts they can apply, but it's not a done deal because our town could only hold whatever number that is, mm-hmm. And they could do that, and that's not under our control. But could we further restrict that aspect
under the current initiative, we have the authority to further limit the number of establishments we'll allow in the city, yes.
Right, so the state could say you could have 10 and we could say something else,
yes.
Whatever.
Okay. Under the current initiative language, assuming the legislature doesn't change it, yes.
Okay. Ms. Crane.
I would support the amendment, mainly because if we get to the end of the legislative session and things are much more complicated than we thought they were going to be, we can always change that date again. So if this helps the business community in the interim, fine. But we still have the ability to look at that date. We may be able to move it up even further. Who knows? But we can look at it after the legislative session again, and if we have to, change it.
All right. Anybody? Anything else on Amendment 1? Just to change the date? Is there any objections to changing the date?
I object.
Thank you. Two objections. Please read the roll.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
Yes.
Ms. Troll?
Yes.
Ms. White?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Ms. Crane?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Yes.
Mayor Sanford?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Now we will go back to Ordinance 2014-50 as amended. Any debate? Did we move that one along? We had to amend it, so who moved it? I'm sorry.
Oh, that's right.
Mr. Keel. Mm-hmm. Mr. Keel moved that ordinance, and as amended now, is there any objections to ordinance, or is there any discussion first? Excuse me. Cut off discussion. Seeing none, is there any objection to 2014-50 as amended being accepted? Seeing none, so ordered. Now we'll move on to ordinance 2014-51B. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance amending the secondhand smoke control code to regulate the use of marijuana.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Madam Manager, report.
This ordinance would amend the secondhand smoke control code, Chapter 3630, to provide for the regulation of marijuana smoking in the same way the smoking of tobacco products is regulated within the city and borough. The Lands Committee heard this ordinance at its December 29, 2014 meeting and recommended forwarding an amended version to the full assembly for approval. Version B in your packet tonight of the ordinance clarifies that medical marijuana is not exempted in the same manner as tobacco cessation products or products prescribed by a licensed physician. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. And I will open this up for public comment. And I need to know if we have two people signed up for this one. And I want to know up front here if there's anybody else who wishes to speak to it. I have no problem with you speaking to it. It's just that we need to know up front so we give you the appropriate amount of time. I see one other hand. So there's going to be three people. Four people. Anybody else? Okay, we're 2-4. And so we will move forward with Mr. Ben Wilcox first.
Hello again, Benjamin Wilcox, 125 Wire Street, Juneau, Alaska. On this one, you know, I have stated at the prior land use meeting that the law states it is illegal to use marijuana in public, so in my belief, you're just kind of adding a redundant layer to this. And my main problem with that is I think it might be a little hasty. What we have coming up is a new industry, again, back to the marijuana. And by the lowest estimates, there's going to be approximately 55,000 people getting off those ships wanting to consume marijuana in a season. So we can look at 10,000 plus a month, and that's the lowest estimate. You know, upwards of 110,000 to 180,000 people might purchase cannabis off those ships each season. Where are they going to consume it? If we were selling Alaskan Amber to all of these people and did not provide them a bar to drink it in, what do you think this city would look like? Where are these people going to go? Where do you want them to go? Though, if you add this, it will again impede a legitimate business from opening anything similar to a smoke lounge, anything where these people can go consume in a private fashion out of public view. It just adds a hurdle, and rescinding an ordinance is not something that happens very often. So once it gets added in, getting it back out is going to, again, slow down any progress that might be made by anybody looking to get into this part of the industry. And sorry to say, but, you know, I know you get a lot of complaints about parents walking their kids down the street through cigarette smoke. What kind of complaints do you think you're going to get from those parents walking through pot smoke? They're going to do it. They're here. They come, they drink, they have a place to go consume that alcohol. The reason that the smoking ban, part of the reason was when people go to consume their alcohol in a place, that smoke was extracurricular. A cannabis consumption lounge, that would not be the issue. They would be going there specifically to consume cannabis, not to consume anything else. So it kind of goes in face of the Clean Air Ordinance Act, which was to protect people from something that was extracurricular to the reason for being in that establishment. Thank you very much.
Are there any questions for Mr. Wilcox? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you.
We will move forward to Mr. Mike Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly. My name is Mike Peterson. I live at 724 5th Street over in Douglas. I don't support 2014-51B. I have the text of the marijuana initiative in front of me. And I'm paraphrasing on the first one, the personal use of marijuana. But just very essentially, it says that consumption of marijuana is illegal, except that nothing in this chapter shall permit the consumption of marijuana in public. Then you drop down to 040, it says consumption banned, penalty. It's unlawful to consume marijuana in public. Any person who violates this section is guilty of a violation punishable by a fine of $100. Then further on in the text, it goes to define consumption. It means the act of ingesting, inhaling, or otherwise introducing marijuana into the human body. So I don't understand why this need to take a secondhand smoke ordinance. It seems like it's not necessary. A few more items here. In Denver, where an initiative passed last year, in the first 9 months after that initiative passed, in the city of Denver, there were 668 consumptive citations after the law passed. The year before that, in their same period, there were 117. So my point of this is, with this you can't regulate stupid. You just can't. So the idea of this one more ordinance being on the books, I don't understand what it's for. It's my opinion, aside from the comments I've heard tonight from members of the Assembly, that it seems like the Assembly is quickly donning the mantle of having an anti-marijuana sentiment. A case in point, the Fairbanks North Star Borough Mayor is forming a working group to begin crafting marijuana ordinances, which will include community stakeholders, and it's being led by the Planning Community Director. In Anchorage, there's a four-person assembly committee, which is going to be charged with developing and recommending new municipal code. And this includes working with the state legislature and other rulemaking bodies to craft Anchorage marijuana laws. And that's in an ADN article back on the 20th of December. On the 14th and 16th of this month, there is a marijuana impact on public health and safety in Colorado, a three-day symposium. People from the ABC board are going, from Anchorage are going, from Fairbanks are going, police chiefs from North Pole, Fairbanks, Unalaska, Kedai, Soldotna. I don't know if anybody from Juneau is going. Just a couple seconds more. I support a working group or a task force or advisory committee from the Assembly, and I'm more than happy to put myself out there as a member of the Republic, a member of the public to be on it. Thank you very much for the time.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. Any questions for Mr. Peterson? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And then we had two other gentlemen that raised their hands. Mr. Barrett, you want to come up? Who was the other gentleman? Okay, if you want to stand, or you can wait right there.
Thanks again for having me. James Barrett, 327 Diston Avenue. I also apologize. I couldn't find the sign-up sheet to speak earlier. Otherwise, I would have been on there for both of these issues. I just want clarification on the exception for a smoking area is that you have to get a tobacco license and be a tobacco store, essentially, and then you can smoke inside of that store. So, like, for example, Percy's Liquor, I believe you can smoke a cigarette in there, right? No? I thought there was an exception clause to where you can smoke.
Madam Law Department, could you please clarify?
But there is an exception for, there are certain exceptions allowed under the current no smoking ordinance, one of which is use in an outdoor patio. There are certain conditions that have to be met. It has to be open on a number of sides, and you can only smoke a certain distance from the entranceway. But that's as far as public places, that's one of the only public places that's allowed.
Okay, I must have misread. I thought I read that an exception was that if you had a tobacco license to sell and it was a tobacco only establishment, smoking tobacco was allowed in there, and I didn't see the verbiage change or the words change. Okay. The next point I wanted to talk about was with Washington and tourism. I did go down there to test out the new marijuana market down there, and I did have that trouble of there's nowhere to smoke because of the smoking ban. And we might have that problem here. I know no one's going to be selling to tourists for not this 2015 season, but 2016, that might be an issue. Is where are they going to go? And we don't want the problem of people doing it in the street, in the public. We voted that this should be treated like alcohol. And so I think putting a ban on indoors kind of pushes people outdoors again, and then we're back to kind of that problem that we voted. We voted to legalize it so people can do it safely and consume it responsibly. So this might push people out into the streets to consume it or in public. So that's all. Thanks.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Bear? Seeing none, thank you very much. Yes, sir.
Hello, my name is Jesse Palomino. I live at 4801 River Road out in the valley. I'm against this ordinance because it essentially would ban some kind of lounge, which it would be a definite source of revenue for the city, considering all of the tourism that we have in this town. And I think it would be irresponsible, especially with the deficit that we're facing, to deny any possible revenue that we could have.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Thank you very much. All right, public comment is closed, and we will move forward to, I think that's all the names that I have on the list here. Okay, we will move forward to assembly action, excuse me. Public comment is closed, and we're moving forward to assembly action. Ms. Gleda Zeski.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move Ordinance 2014-51B for purposes of discussion. I have some language here with regard to the issue of marijuana smoking establishments. I have some language here that would define private club to include marijuana smoking. But given some of the testimony, I also wonder whether these given you can't smoke marijuana in public, another alternative is to table this ordinance until October 19, 2015. So we could, Ms. Mead.
My one caution in doing so is the state initiative does not define what in public means. Our non-smoking ordinance covers things like cab rides. So without addressing it now and deciding whether or not you want to include it in this ordinance, you're leaving open the possibility that people can light up in a cab or on a tour bus and in places of employment. So that is the one piece that is not regulated by the state initiative that you should decide how you want to proceed with that before October.
Would you like me to read this?
Has the law department seen this yet?
Yeah, I asked the law department. They drafted this.
Okay, let's get a copy of that and give it to everybody. That would be the best thing for us to be able to read it. So
yeah, it's more than a small thing.
Yeah. Is there any other changes? Just that one, Maria?
That.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Madam Law.
I just wanted to clarify that what the amendment does is allow private club marijuana establishments. It does not envision commercial private lounges or commercial lounges at this time because that's not even legislated by the state yet. We don't know if the state is going to allow use on licensed premises or if they're going to expand the types of licenses for commercial establishments to include those types of businesses.
Do we have a definition of a private club then?
Yes.
And that's what this is?
Yes.
Okay.
We have a question for law. Would this, if that were to pass this private club, would that then put smoking of tobacco into that private club?
It would allow for smoking of cigarettes and tobacco, cigars, in its own private club. It's not a mixed use because that would.
Mr. Mayor, can we have this in front of us? I'm having trouble thinking through it without being able to see the words.
That's why she's making copies.
I appreciate it. I'm a visual learner, Ms. Becker. Is that the right type?
Do you want to?
No. She just told us that break. One definition, so I thought I should ask.
Yeah, so let's take a five-minute break here, and then we'll get our paperwork in order and be able to move forward.
And she'll sing her song to anyone.
And you're attuned to KTOO in Juneau, Alaska. The time is 8:26, and we've been listening to the CBJ Assembly meeting, and they're currently taking a five-minute break. Tonight, rain, temperatures steady around 37. Tomorrow, rain, highs around 42. Wednesday, rain, highs around 43. Thursday and Thursday night, rain, highs around 42, lows around 39. Friday and Friday night, rain likely, highs around 40, lows around 37. Saturday, rain likely, highs around 39. Saturday night through Martin Luther King Day, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, rain likely, lows around 34, highs around 38.
Hey, Dave, want to see the Intergalactic Nemesis with me?
The inter what?
The Intergalactic Nemesis.
What's that?
A live-action graphic novel.
Live-action what?
An adventure story with giant projected comic book artwork and live voices, music, and sound effects.
Live sound effects?
I saw a little bit of it on Conan. It's hilarious.
The Intergalactic Nemesis?
The Intergalactic Nemesis.
How do we get tickets?
Tickets for the show on January 20th, 7 p.m. at the JDHS Auditorium at the Jack, Hearthside Books, Rainy Retreat, and online at jahc.org.
The University of Alaska Southeast spring semester starts the week of January 12th, and there's still class openings in programs like art, Alaska Native languages, automotive technology, and more. Whether you want to pursue something you've always been interested in or finally finish that college degree, the door is open at UAS, in the classroom or online. To register, check out the spring course listing at uas.alaska.edu or call 796-6100.
Every Alaskan can make a difference when they file online for their PFD, and it's easy to share a little of your PFD in Southeast communities through Pick, Click, Give. There are over three dozen causes based in the Juneau-Douglas area alone, including KTOO Public Radio. More information can be found at pickclickgive.org.
Tried so hard, my dear, to show that you're my every dream. Yet you're afraid each thing I do is just some evil scheme. A memory from your lonesome past keeps us so far apart. Why can't I free and melt your cold, cold heart? Another love before my time made your heart sad and blue. And so my heart is paying now for things I didn't do. That make the teardrops start. Why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold shackle.
Dear Mom, thank you for quitting smoking. It's hard to do, but smoking can kill you, so quitting saved your life. I'm so lucky to have parents like you and Dad. Other parents would probably say, oh, he's just a kid. Love, Nick.
My kids inspired me to quit. Find your reason to quit smoking.
Call Alaska Tobacco Quit Line, free for all Alaskans, at 1-800-QUIT-NOW.
This message is brought to you by Search, your partner in health.
I've read the words before, so now I know the time has come again for me, and I'm feeling the same way all over again, feeling the same way all over again, singing the same lines all over again, no matter how much I pretend, another day that I can't find my.
With the condition that the police department could revoke its approval at any time should any law enforcement issues arise, we're recommending those same restrictions be moved forward if you accept this application. They are requesting the dates of January 19th from 9 p.m. to the early morning hours, 1 a.m. of January 20th, February 12th, 9 p.m. to February 13th at 1 a.m., March 16th, 9 p.m. to March 17th at 1 a.m., May 24th, 9 p.m. to May 25th, 1 a.m., and June 15th, 9 p.m. to June 16th, 1 a.m. I recommend the Assembly approve this application with the conditions allowing for JBD to revocation ability should there be any law enforcement concerns arising from these events.
Thank you, Madam Manager. And we were finished with unfinished business, right? Do you want to skip over something?
Oh, sorry.
and we're on the first issue of new business. The manager's getting worse than me.
Well.
Thank you.
Okay, is there... Ms. Becker.
Thank you. I'll go ahead and move the recommendation that's given, but I do want to ask the question. Did we have any concerns from this action that happened earlier? Okay.
No, we did not.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Ms. Traw.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just have another question to the city manager. Do you have any idea whether the turnout was successful and a lot of teens participated in these events? And
I don't have the numbers for the past events, but I can follow up and provide that at a later date.
My intent is just that I think this is a great idea and a great initiative by, you know, a private bar. And if the response from the youth in, you know, is positive, we might want to just send a letter saying thank you for doing these types of things, because I think we need more venues like this to create alcohol-free activities for our youth. So if there's something to build on, then I would like to acknowledge that and send a letter.
Thank you, Mr. Earl. Anything else on this issue, Mr. Ryan Curtis?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like a letter from Assemblymember Troll. I provided an alcohol-free facility for youth at my house for a long time when my kids were in school.
I do have
a question for law. This came up in committee. I don't remember which committee now, but I was under the impression that JPD doesn't have the ability to revoke the D designation. That's just an assembly authority. Is that correct? Because this came up in committee. We had this discussion whether the police department had the ability to de-designate a permit, and I don't believe it does. I believe that ability resides with this body. Now, I believe the discussion was that they could come back and petition us to de-designate it, which we would probably do, but I don't believe that the police department has that. Correct me if I'm wrong, but we had a discussion on that, and I believe the chief is, I'm not sure if he was here for that discussion or not. But
I haven't read it, but that doesn't make any sense to me that authority would be given to the police department. But Ms. McEwen seems to know the answer.
Maybe she was there for that discussion we had. I was. My memory's not that great.
The mayor, thank you, Mr. Nankervis. Yes, the governing body has the jurisdiction to make the determination. These applications have to be signed off by both the local law enforcement agency and the local governing body. The condition that the manager's report is saying is that they're placing a condition on this de-designation that should there be local law enforcement concerns because of issues that might arise, then at that time, the assembly action tonight is providing the local governing or the local law enforcement agency with that power. That's the recommendation of the manager.
Problems arise.
You're delegating that authority to the local law enforcement. In order to actually approve the permit application, it has to be signed off on both by the assembly and the local law enforcement. This is placing a condition on that approval and giving the law enforcement agency that revocation ability.
Thank you. So just to clarify a little bit further, if for some reason the young people got into the liquor cabinet at the liquor store or at the establishment and the police were called and got there, they could shut down that.
That's correct.
Facility right then and there. Right?
That's what this condition is providing. Correct.
Okay. Mr.
Well, I think they could do that anyway, right. but they could shut down the next one is what this condition would be.
Mm-hmm.
Or the future ones.
Through the mayor, Mr. Keel, that's correct. That is what this condition is saying, that if something arises and the police department feels that it should shut down future events because they've had problems with the previous events, this is allowing that with that condition.
Any other questions? I think we're still a little bit fuzzy on it all, so maybe, Ms. Mead, you could look into it a little bit further and make sure you clarify that issue with us.
Yes.
I think that probably the Assembly wants to make sure that the police department has authority to shut down the establishment if for some reason some mistakes were made there and something unruly was going on. So if we could get that cleared up, I think that would be good.
How soon would we be addressing that? One of the dates they requested is only a week away.
January 19th.
Yeah. I'm not worried about the current dates.
Okay.
That could just fall through as we say it's okay for tonight. I just want to make sure that the police has the authority to move forward on those situations that aren't proper. Okay. Anybody have anything else on this issue?
So we don't have.
Yeah. Did we have to act on this issue?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
yeah. I did.
Somebody move
I
it?
I did.
Ms. Becker.
Becker moved. Of this.
Okay, is there any objections to it? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. And just to clarify for the radio, the action that we took on ordinance
2014-51B, amending the secondhand smoke control code relating to the use of marijuana.
So ordinance 2014-51B has been sent back to the Human Resources Committee for them to evaluate and see how we want to put that ordinance back together with some additions to it. So that's where that went for the radio station, in case you didn't get that. Okay, we'll move forward to liquor licenses, mid-cycle protests, and I think this was all done at HR. So, HR, give us your recommendations.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Human Resources Committee met just prior to the assembly meeting tonight. We got an update. There were four liquor licenses that was being recommended that we file a protest on. Paradise Bakery, Cafe and Bakery have satisfied the issues that were raised by the tax sales tax office, as has Jacobson Daniels Associates, LLC, doing business as Romeo's Tap Room. So those were removed, but the HRC did pass a motion to continue to protest Seong's S. Kim, doing business as Seong's Sushi Bar and Chinese Takeout, and NYT Incorporated, doing business as Rendezvous. And the NYT has contacted the sales tax office, but they have not finalized any results of that, so we'll continue to protest. So the motion from the Human Resources Committee is that the Assembly officially protest the renewal of the license for Seong Sushi Bar and for the Rendezvous. And I would make that motion and ask unanimous consent.
Thank you. You've heard the recommendation. Is there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Madam Manager, Export Manufacturing Property Tax Exemptions.
Yes, and this is a housekeeping because we, the business, the three businesses, Alaska Glacier Seafood, SSS, SASS Co., or Talking Smokeries, and AK Beb Group, LLC, all filed timely exemptions and applications for the property tax exemption. The assessor's office reviewed the exemption applications and determined that the properties met the code requirements. They granted the export manufacturer exemption without assembly approval. The Assembly Finance Committee reviewed this issue at its November 12, 2014 meeting and recommended forwarding the tax exemptions for 2013 and 2014 to the Assembly for authorization. I recommend approval of these exemptions.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Can I have a motion from the Assembly to move these things forward? Is that Mr. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we approve the export manufacturing property tax exemptions as listed.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Okay, we have a staff report on combining state and local elections. Ms. Laura Sika has put together a little bit of information for us. Ms. Sika.
Since the question was brought up, I think, at least once or twice in a meeting, but then also just in passing, that memo is in your packet to give you some information about what the ramifications would be of moving the assembly or the city's election day to the same day as the state election. And I'll just take any questions if you have any.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Sika? Oh, I thought you were pointing at somebody else.
No.
See you, Bob. Mr. Keel, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll try and be clearer in my signaling next time. Ms. Sika, I wanted to make sure I understood your memo correctly because it talked a little bit about what another municipality is working toward. It looks as though the municipality of Anchorage may be trying to work with the state to have concurrent elections 2 years out, 3 years out, I guess. Do you know, are they trying to amend any of the laws that require them to have their elections side by side on the same day, which strikes me as really difficult? Or are they simply trying to find two election boards for every precinct
When I talked to the clerk in Anchorage, I got the impression that they're investigating by-mail elections as a solution. I didn't get any information on anything else at this point.
Okay.
But I'll keep in touch with them.
Thank you. And, Mr. Mayor, I just would ask, as you get additional information, if you could keep us updated. I think there's value in exploring the possibility, but the idea of having two sets of ballots and two sets of registers for everybody to sign, or for that matter, a set of by-mail ballots and in-person voting all on the same day, theoretically, strikes me as a lot more confusing than the way we do it now.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Any other questions, comments on this? And does everybody have, Ms. Sika just mentioned the by-mail stuff. We had a pros and cons paper on that, too.
We had minimal pros and cons. I'm working on a more extensive pro and con memo.
I was just going to suggest that we send that out to those who want it, if they want it. But if you're working on something better and bigger, we can wait for that, Ms. Sika. Okay. Any other questions on this issue? Seeing and hearing none. We'll move on to Mayor's Report. We have several things, if you'll bear with me here. There is going to be a get-together on, I think it's the 16th in Whitehorse, for one of their celebrations. And they invited the mayor and his spouse or something, or a few of us up to ask us if we wanted to celebrate that with them. So I was just going to ask if there was anybody on the assembly that wanted to do that. That's on February the 16th, so you'd have to be gone this
February 18th.
On the 18th?
It's a Wednesday night.
Okay.
During the Alaska Municipal League.
Yes, it is. Thing. It's during the Municipal League's stuff. Mm-hmm. And it is also takes a few days because you have to go by ferry, then you have to drive up and then come back. And so it's going to be a little bit of a timely issue for those who may want to go. So what I need to know tonight is if anybody is interested in it. If we are not interested, and one or two of us are not interested in going to that function, I know the Sister Cities Committee has two people who want to go to that, and I'm sure that if we gave them a stipend out of the mayor's budget somehow, that that would help them be able to get there and back and give our greetings to our sister city of Whitehorse. So if there's nobody on the assembly that wishes to go, we can give that mission to our sister city committee. Anybody on the assembly? Ms. Baxter, it looks like you two of you can go, and you can talk with Ms. Sika about the dollar amounts for a ferry trip and room and board. Okay? Thank you very much. Mr. Bartholomew just wanted to take time to thank the people from his division that took on getting governed business personal property module live within the city a couple of months ago, but it took three or four of the business people in finance to put this all together and to get it all transferred over, and it's up and live and running. It's doing well. As far as I know, there hasn't been any big hiccups with it. Mr. Steedle, do you know?
That's correct. It's running
okay.
Very well.
And so I just wanted to make sure we noted that for Mr. Bartholomew's crew at finance, that they did a fine job. And I think there's several other places where we need to do something like that to bring the computer system up to date in some of our other divisions that we're going to see as we do our goals that is needed. So if you see something through finance or through one of your other committees where the computer system maybe hasn't been upgraded yet to the new systems or something done to it, I would really appreciate that feedback back to finance or to myself or to the city manager so that we can start looking at those areas to see if we have the dollar somewhere to do some of those upgrades. AML is this year also on February the 16th, 17th, and 18th. Make sure you put in for that with Ms. Sika. Southeast Conference is in March, I think it is. If you want to go to that, make sure you put that in. And there was one other one. What was the other one, Dan?
Innovation Summit.
The Innovation Summit from JEDC is on at the end of this month, the 28th and 29th, I think.
28th and 29th, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. So if anyone wants to go to that, it's a day and a half big summit with a lot of different people and some outside speakers coming in to talk about innovation and business within our community. It should be very interesting. Last year's was very good. So if you want to get signed up for that and go to that, make sure you get with Ms. Sika so she can get your registration. And you need to do that tomorrow. Because otherwise...
Thursday would be good.
Okay. Well, we'll do it tomorrow. You can do it tomorrow so that we don't get penalized with the registration sign-up stuff. So, and we're getting closer to the end of our budget for this stuff. So we want to be frugal as possible with it. Okay? Kim's. Okay, that's all I have for Mayor's report. So let's go down with committee reports. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The committee as a whole, we met on the 5th and had a lengthy and thorough discussion about the economic plan. And our next meeting is the 26th of this month. And I'll go ahead and do the tax exemption.
Sure.
The tax exemption committee met the 8th of January with a public hearing. Full house, many testified. And our next meeting is this Thursday at 5:30 in room 224. And the plans are to go through what happened at that meeting and then eventually try to come up with our agreed upon list to send to finance. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Lands Committee last met December 29th. In addition to two ordinances that were on tonight's agenda, one of which we changed and passed and one of which we referred to another committee, we heard an update on the progress staff has made with what they call the North Lemon Creek material source, which is CBJ-owned gravel up the Lemon Creek Valley over on the same side as Lemon Creek Correctional Center, and progress that's being made working with the state of Alaska on a right-of-way across a little bit of their land to make sure that material source is available for public projects going forward. Nothing cataclysmic, but steady progress.
All right. Good. Ms. Crane?
I reported on the last Finance Committee meeting at the last Assembly meeting. Our next Finance Committee meeting will be on Wednesday, January the 21st.
Thank you very much. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Public Works and Facilities Committee met on December 29th. Many of the topics that we discussed were on our agenda this evening. Some things that weren't that I thought warranted discussion, the Planning Commission made comments on projects they wanted included in the CIP to the Public Works Committee. I don't know if everybody's gotten a copy of that yet or not, but that should have come to everybody. In addition to that, we had some discussion on DOT's thoughts on looking at the Riverside Drive congestion, a mitigation project for the Stephen Richards Riverside Drive intersection. They were looking at doing that. And I will leave it at that. Our next meeting is set for January 26th here at noon.
Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. Mr. Jones?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The HRC committee met this evening just prior to the assembly meeting. We heard our annual report from the local emergency planning committee and an annual report from the Juneau Affordable Housing Commission. In addition, the HRC made the following recommendations for appointments to the local emergency planning committee. We nominated Ed Mercer and David Campbell, Chad Cameron, Allison Bramer, Destiny Sargent, Miguel Lopez, Sherry Moyer, Paul Nallen, Joel Curtis, two seats on the LAPC with terms expiring 12/31/17. And in addition, after assembly action, they had a new seat on the LAPC for vulnerable populations. We had four applications, and the HRC committee recommends the appointment of Pam Watts and Jason Burke to the vulnerable population seat and the alternate. And so that was our recommendations on the local emergency planning commission.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Are there any objections to those recommendations? Hearing none, so ordered.
We also had appointments to the Juneau Affordable Housing Commission, and the HRC is recommending the appointment of Wayne Coogan, Tamara Rowcroft, and Russ McDougall to terms expiring 1/31/2018.
Are there any objections to those appointments? Seeing none, so ordered.
In addition, Mr. Mayor, we also took up the action of replacing a PRAC member on the 1% for art selection for the Cruise Berth Seawalk Project 16B. The reason we did that was that this is a voting member and therefore just isn't an appointment for the PRAC as a liaison. And the HRC is recommending the appointment of Josh Anderson to represent the PRAC on the 1% for art selection for 16B.
Are there any objections to that? Hearing none, so ordered.
Then we dealt with the liquor protests. And the next meeting is Thursday night at 5 o'clock here in the chambers. It's a joint meeting with the Social Services Advisory Board. We will be looking at the ordinance resolution that established that committee. They're down to just four members, and there's some questions about the duties and responsibilities, and we want to have a joint session with them to start talking about that, see if we can come up with a better recruitment, better feeling for what they ought to be doing. It may take several meetings before we come back with any proposal for changes. And that was our agenda tonight, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Jones. And you might as well start with Treadwell Ice Arena.
Yes. We also talked about that briefly. The Treadwell Arena annual report has been submitted. And with the concurrence of the HRC, I plan to bring that up as one of our issues that we need to deal with when we meet on our retreat on Wednesday.
Okay.
And basically, the HRC agreed that we should propose that the law department start drafting the resolution that will establish an advisory board for Treadwell.
Okay. Can we, at the retreat, can we accept that report from that committee? Because the assembly as a whole hasn't accepted that report yet.
No, they have not.
So we want to make sure we take that step first and then move forward with it. And if we can do that at the retreat, I have no problem doing it at the retreat because I think it's a simple one, and I think it's one that we won't have much discussion about. And
the HRC would be the committee of jurisdiction to establish that. And
right. It just needs to go through the assembly first to make sure we accept it. Mr. Nankervis? You have your hand up there?
No.
Okay.
No, sorry.
Okay. Any other liaison reports from you, Mr. Jones, while we're down at your end?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Juneau Economic Development Council met on the 7th, They had a discussion with Jim Calvin from McDowell Group on the economic plan. They had a discussion on the Innovation Summit, which starts at 1 p.m. on the 28th and then goes all day on the 29th. They also had some discussion about passenger fee projects. I think they've made a couple of proposals. They've been asked to support a third proposal. They also had a fairly lengthy discussion about the request that part of their revolving loan fund be used to support Housing First. And I believe they're going to be writing a letter, and I guess that will be discussed in February. But they had a pretty lengthy discussion, and I won't usurp what they will finally send because I may get it wrong. There was a lot of discussion about that. And then the Downtown Business Association canceled their meeting in December, lack of a quorum, including myself. And their next meeting is January 30th, and it's at 8:30 in the morning. Hopefully I'll get there just about the time they start because I'm filling in and I'm cooking breakfast for the students at Yokosuka Alternative School that morning. So I'm filling in for a person who does that every week who will be out of town. So anyway, that's my liaison report, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jones. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Eagle Crest Board met 5:30 last Thursday. I was unable to attend. I was at the Tax Exemption Review Committee meeting along with everybody else in here. They got their snow. They want more snow. February 4th is their next meeting. Or excuse me, February 5th is their next meeting, 5:30 upstairs. Docks and Harbors, next meeting is January 29th at 5:30 in here. They're also going to have a meeting on February 4th for the Aurora Harbor patrons and tenants regarding the reconstruction and some of the things that are going to come with the reconstruction, including the wiring, the electrical that's going in down there. And if you have noticed, they are starting to drive pilings in Aurora Harbor coming out from the Harbor Master's office. It's a good thing to see progress going on that. And that's all I have on those two things. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wait, excuse me. Next meeting was January 29th at 5:30 if I didn't say that.
Okay.
For the regular board meeting for Docks and Harbors. Thank you.
Ms. Troll, you want to start with NOAA Task Force first?
Oh, and God, then, I forgot that one.
And do
I
you.
Have four on my list.
I've got you covered here.
Well, Mr. Mayor, the NOAA Fisheries Task Force has completed their report, and I do not know when it is scheduled to be presented to the Assembly.
Madam Manager?
26.
That's okay. Okay. If you can get it for us,
yes, we'll have it
for
on
Wednesday.
Yes.
And I want to have it all laid out on Wednesday when we do our goals because there's certain things within each one of these task force that we've accomplished that are going to have to be.
Overlaps with the Juneau Economic Development Plan.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Yep. And or maybe even different than the Economic Development Plan, some things.
It's
not necessarily NOAA, but other ones will be. Okay. Thank you very much, and go ahead and go on with your liaison report.
Thank you. I attended the Affordable Housing Commission meeting on Tuesday, January 6th. And the topic of discussion a lot there dealt with the mobile home financing. And they discovered that the staff at the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation is willing to reconsider the structure of those loans to be more flexible. And in that regard, they would very much like for us to send this letter to the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation encouraging basically some more flexible terms and the impact it could have in Juneau. So I'm gonna pass that along. So there's a letter here for the mayor's signature.
Has the staff looked at that yet?
Well, it came from the Affordable Housing Commission, and the staff clerk, Jessica, prepared the letter with the aid, but has our city manager seen this? No.
Okay. So, Madam Manager, before I'm going to sign it, I need to have you or somebody on staff review it and
Lori.
Tell us if it's all right or what, or if that's the direction we want to go. I would like your advice on it.
Mr.
Mayor, should be fine.
Mr. Mayor, if I might, the Affordable Housing Commission did their annual report. They talked about the loan program. They talked about discussions with Alaska Housing, but they did not raise the issue of any request to send this letter mm-hmm. at the HRC meeting tonight.
Because they passed a motion for me to present it tonight under assembly comments.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll try to speed it along here and do it this short-circuited circuit, but I want the manager to look at it first, and then
that's fine.
And we'll take care of it.
Okay. Affordable Housing Commission also have finally done a lot of their final work on the accessory apartment incentive program, and that should be coming to the Lands Committee on January 26th. I'll be looking for that. I also attended the JEDC meeting and don't have anything to add to Mr. Jones's report. The Juneau Commission on Sustainability meets this Wednesday, and because there is not a conflict with finance, I will finally be able to attend one of those meetings. They are planning for their retreat at the end of January, where they will come up with their work priorities. The other committee that I've been interacting with a lot is the Tongass Advisory Committee, which is coming to Juneau for their next series of meetings. And I would like for the assembly members to know that on Tuesday, March 20th, there will be a reception in the Hangar Ballroom from 6 to 8. January. I'm sorry.
Why are you giving us such heads up, Mr. Okay.
I know. That was like, I don't know why I said March.
What time again?
Oh, I know why, because I wrote down my travel dates in March. It's 6 to 8 at the Hangar Ballroom. And
who's that?
It's the Tongass Advisory Committee. It's a community reception, so members of the assembly are welcome, as well as members of various other organizations, and just gives you a chance to interact with the committee members. That will start their meeting on that Tuesday and go all the way through Friday. Because of the process within the Forest Service, the Tongass Advisory Committee has now 1 month less to come up with their recommendation. So it is March, and I think that's why I had March on my mind, because that is when they really have to finalize their recommendation so it can be included in the environmental impact statement and be analyzed along with the other alternatives. So that's it for my liaison committee reports.
Thank you. And Ms. Troll, you've been involved with the Tongass Advisory Committee here for the past 6 months or so, so you'll maybe know this for sure. I saw in the paper, I think it was, where Forrest Cole is going to retire.
Oh, yes.
And his second in command. Mm-hmm. So just to let the assembly know, I'm going to write Forrest a letter and giving our appreciation. He's been with the Tongass since 1989 or something, and is a true forester within being a forester. So he's done a lot of good things for us and for Southeast Alaska as a whole. And so I'm just going to write him a letter of thank you.
I think that would be very appropriate, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. Ms. Kroll? Ms. Gladachewski?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The LEPC, the Local Emergency Planning Committee, for people who don't know what that is, met in December, and one of the things I wanted to mention is they thanked the Red Cross for their prompt response to the flooding at the Glory Hole, and also JPD for their quick thinking of getting people immediately within an hour of that flooding. The displaced residents went to the transit center, and they found housing for 24 residents, and that was a great thing. Their next meeting is January 14th at noon. I won't be able to attend again because I'll be at the assembly retreat. I'm sorry about that. The Parks and Rec Advisory Committee met in January, thanked their outgoing director, Mr. Fisher, and welcomed a new director to the room, and they heard a report from the Treadwell Historic Preservation and Restoration Society. Their next meeting is February 3rd. That's what I have.
Thank you, Ms. Troll. Ms. Gray?
The next Bartlett Board meeting is Tuesday, the 27th, and at that meeting they will be taking up the issue of Housing First and any potential support from Bartlett for that project.
You want me to be there with you and we can encourage them, Ms. Gray?
I think it will go well.
Okay, thank you. I think it will, too. Anything else, Ms. Gray?
That's it.
Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The University of Alaska Southeast Campus Council met today in the noon hour, and the conversation focused primarily around the University of Alaska's budget and what their prospects are for the coming year or several years, how they plan to adapt to what they see coming down the pike and continue to provide high-quality education for folks in Juneau and in our region. They also talked about the pending sale of the former bookstore down there near Squires and the highway. The optimistic goal is to put that on the market by July. It might take a little longer than that, but they've already had some inquiries from private entities that are interested. They also talked at some length about the campus housing situation. The new dorm is, I think it's fair to say, a raving success. The opportunity has presented itself for them to level out their housing charges for upper division students, especially grad students at Banfield Hall. Those charges used to get higher the higher your classes were. And what they found, a lot of upper division students moved out as the charges went up, and they didn't always have the rooms full. So they're going to level those out, keep the dorms as full as they can keep them. Hope that helps with student retention as well.
Should help our housing issue, too.
Can't possibly hurt, Mr. Mayor. The school board has its regular meeting tomorrow, and then a great number of us also had the opportunity this past Thursday to have lunch prepared by the culinary arts students at Thunder Mountain High School. They're with a number of school board members and the superintendent. First of all, I just have to pause and applaud the culinary arts students, especially their primary teacher, Mr. Pat Roach, and the community chefs and cooks in private businesses all around town who have partnered with and are mentoring the students in that program. They're doing a remarkable job. There is not only a whole lot of culinary arts education, but to pass that class, you need not only the basic food safety card that all servers need, but you have to have the basic restaurant manager certification. Mm-hmm. Which is a marketable item when you come out of high school. And so the drive that they're showing and the results they're getting in that program really, I think, are excellent. And the food was good, too.
I think that's an important class or program that we should emulate in different other fields that we have and for students to business directly into our community. It's a good one to look at and see how they did it. And how it's going, as far as I know, it's going really, really good.
So. Seems to be.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Anything else?
No, not under liaison reports.
Thank you. Ms. White?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Juneau Convention and Visitors Board, I don't know if you all have heard, is having some employee turnover. They have one person leaving to start a food tour business. So they have a few new people coming in. They're going to have their board retreat on January 20th, and it looks like it's going to be an all-day affair. I'm going to try to be there for part of that. I'll get to go to an airport board meeting, finally, on Wednesday. Not sure if, were you all told about what happened at the airport on January 6th and 7th? Were you?
Yes.
Okay, so I don't need to fill you in on their old equipment. It's pro
student. Old equipment.
No, they said the friction equipment was well over 20 years old.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
Thank you, Ms. White.
But, Mr. Mayor, can we get the resolution of that, though? Because I thought that was...
That they got it fixed, and they pulled it together. Ketchikan Airport lent us some of their equipment. I actually knew one of the mechanics that helped get the equipment going and get the everything taken care of and got our runways open back up rather quickly. They did a good job.
I would suggest if one piece of equipment is going to shut down our airport, that they make sure they have a backup somewhere to make sure that it does not happen.
It's
not acceptable.
It's actually a unit that they normally have three, but one had been sent out for repairs, and both of the TAPLE units failed that night. Mm-hmm. And so it was definitely a bit of a scramble, but the crew really pulled it together. I was texting with a friend of mine who works at that crew, but he was not on duty, and he says, oh, there's no way that piece of equipment went out. It's the most reliable piece of equipment we own. He was shocked, and he actually called me the next day, and he said, you are not going to believe this. That thing actually did stop working. So he was quite surprised as well. Anyway, I look forward to learning more about airport equipment.
Go right around in some of that new stuff.
I will.
Pretty neat. Okay, anything else, Ms. White?
No, thank you.
Okay. Presiding officer reports. Do we have any holding fire presiding officer reports? Oh, Ms. Becker. Ms. Becker, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, I missed you again? How can that be?
I think it's a habit now, don't you? I think it's gotten to that point.
Oh,
okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Alaska Committee is having their annual meeting on the 31st of this month, and new members of the committee will be elected. The chamber, as far as I know, and I look at Ms. Thomas, has not scheduled a retreat, another replacement retreat, because they're waiting for a CEO to be hired, which has not been hired at this point. Oh, she's not shaking her head. Maybe you're not able to tell us who it is. I don't know. I won't put you on the spot. Okay, maybe they have hired. I don't know who it is. The legislative reception is the 22nd. You all know that. I've been told that many times. And that is it, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Becker, and I am sorry again. I just, you know, you're sitting down there so low, I miss you. I'm sorry.
Are you
not helping?
You're
just digging in a little deeper, Mr.
Yeah.
Mayor.
Mr. Keel, do you have... I was discussing earlier in the meeting, or before the meeting, about the transboundary issue. Do you have a motion to move forward on a transboundary resolution?
I was going to bring it up under comments and questions, but I'd be happy to, Mr. Mayor.
I'd like to do that one and then the Aquatics Board right after that. So,
thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move that the Assembly direct staff working together with the chair of the Fisheries Development Committee to bring the Assembly a resolution on the transboundary mine and watershed issues, and I would be inclined to base that on the Southeast Conference resolution, which I thought was a very good template that we could tailor to the Juneau-specific concerns.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there any objections to that, and does everybody know what Mr. Keel is talking about there? Okay. So we will put that together for our next meeting to have that resolution before us, and it will be based on the Southeast Conference's resolution. Ms. Becker, we need, since this is January, we said we would begin to take up the topic of the Aquatics Board. So if I could get a motion to move that forward, and Madam Manager, do you want that? Do you think that should go to the Committee of the Whole, or what's your recommendation there?
I think it should go to the Committee of the Whole. There's a lot of questions that need to be answered.
Mm-hmm. And then we can refer it back to HR or someplace if there's more in-depth to do with the ordinance itself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ms. Becker, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the Aquatic Empowered Board consideration be forwarded to the Committee of the Whole.
Thank you. Is there any objections to that? Mr. Jones?
I don't know if I have an objection per se, but we just got the report, the management report on Parks and Rec. Parks and Rec has a new director. Are we going to, at the Committee of the Whole discussion around the Aquatics Board, are we going to have a discussion on that report on Parks and Rec at the same time? It may influence part of my discussion or part of how I might think about proceeding. So I guess I'd like to make sure that that is part of the discussion around the Aquatics Board.
What date did we have scheduled for the review from the Parks and Rec?
That was scheduled for the Finance Committee meeting on the 21st.
Okay. So we're going to have that, the review, presented to us at the Finance Committee. And that's the review that was done by a consultant about the Parks and Recreation Department. And you should have all had a copy of that.
You've been sent one.
I just haven't had time to read it yet.
I know. That's why it was in your reading assignments several times last month. People.
I plan on having it done by Wednesday, but it's just not come up to the top of
my mind. I understand. I've been reading these things, too. And
I just want to have some informed discussion about that before I start discussing
the other. And I guess I could just say up front, because I did happen to finish the Parks and Rec Consultants report today, reading, 90% of it. I shouldn't say all of it. And I thought it was a very good report, and I'm very, very impressed with Jim Hall and his presentation of that report and his honesty and straightforwardness. I know that was a hard report probably to do, and I think that he did a very good and fair and accurate job of that. So that'll be good for all of us to get into and see exactly what it says. Ms. Troll?
So if I'm tracking right, that we'll actually be talking about the Parks and Rec Department and that report prior to the Committee of the Whole discussing the question of the Empowered Board, right? Okay.
Well, what we're going to talk about the Empowered Board and what we're going to do to move forward with that.
Or not.
Or not, yeah. Or not, yeah.
Yeah, but just sequentially.
But I would assume that it's going to be yes, because the public advised us that they wanted this to happen, and I would assume that we are going to move forward with what the public wishes us to do. So, your question, Mr. Ohl, again?
Well, for me, there was a public vote that for the Empowered Board, but that vote also signaled they wanted change, that status quo was not working, and I think we all recognize that status quo is not working. Our management staff has kind of responded by changing the leadership at the pool, getting this consultant's report. We now have a new director. I think it would only be prudent for us to understand the new direction that the city staff is making. And then we answer that question, is that adequate enough, and what the consequences are in the context of the Empowered Board. So to me, it's still an open question.
That's fine.
And I want to be
for
able
you it
to.
Is, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. Each one of us has our own viewpoint on where it is.
And so at the Finance Committee, we'll not only review the Parks and Rec Department report, but we'll be hearing from staff as to their take on it and what their recommendations might be as well?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Ms. Gladys-Jaspersky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And also just along that line, I wasn't here for the discussion regarding putting it on the ballot, and so I'm not as familiar with the entities that were working to make that happen. So is there an entity that represents that group that will come with their ideas about how that board will work and
they
how that
have.
I
those where, letters those letters are in the record already from those
different... Is there a report? I mean, I have advocate letters about please vote for this thing, but is there a packet about... where is their packet? I don't have that.
The composition of the board, how it will
and
work.
And how what, how they'll manage the pool.
Oh, the new board? That's up to us. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
New board is up to us how we want, if we do it, how many people will be on it and what they will do. And that packet was sent via email to us when? Yesterday?
No, you wanted a copy of a draft was sent to you. I have a memo that I was going to hand out to everyone at the retreat. Just reading it through for typos. That has, it's the draft ordinance. It's based on the Eagle Crest board, since that seemed to be the most closely aligned. It came with recommendations from one of the proponents of moving in this direction from Glacier Swim Club. His thoughts are in that, and then it also comes with a memo outlining what we've done with all the other boards, because what I would need from the assembly would be, if you want to go forward in this direction, is a lot of direction on what you want the board to look like and what you want it to do. So in order to give you that, I've created this memo with a laundry list of what we've done with the other boards and what their duties and powers have been.
Mm-hmm. Do you need any other information besides that, Maria?
If there is other information that came in before October, I would like that.
in every area.
Well, I'm talking about this issue.
Go ahead.
I'll have to look and see when the assembly voted to put it on the ballot, what information was presented at that time. So I'll see what I can find.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you want information, the advocates will be happy to provide.
Okay,
this
so
this already exists.
So what we need to do is move it forward to a committee so that we can start looking at it one way or the other, and that's what we have to do for with it now. That's where it stands now. And so if there's no objections, we'll do what Ms. Becker said and move it to the committee of the whole for a meeting where we can answer some of the questions that Ms. Mead has for us, and we can answer the question overall whether or not we're going to move forward or not. Okay, everybody fine with that? Okay. Let's see, we did the transboundary thing, we did the aquatics, the Treadwell will hear tomorrow or Wednesday. I'm trying to make sure we got everything. The next thing is, in your packet was the information for our assembly retreat, and we're just going to do goal setting on Wednesday. So at 11:30, I think they're going to take pictures. If you want your picture taken, and if you want to be here to take the picture with all of us together, it'll be 11:30 to 12. Then we'll have some lunch and move forward with our actual goal setting. I don't need to know in advance if you have any new ideas, but if you look at the packet that you have before you, you'll see the last 4 years of goal setting that we've done at the assembly level. And you'll see that last year's goals are set out by themselves, and we can discuss those and see which ones we've completed and which ones we haven't. The next sheet is 1 year out, and then down below the dark line is 2 to 5 years out. And then we have ongoing goals. These are the types of things that were kind of aspirational and aren't necessarily set in doing something right now, but things that we want to keep an eye on. If we want to, all these things are up to us as a group to move around as we see fit. And then the last page is completed as of December 31st, 2014. And there was a couple of goals that were removed because there was no action on them, and we can discuss them if you wish. So we can drop any of these or leave them in there so you can look at them to see the ones that we've completed. It doesn't matter. It's up to us as a group. And then move forward with the current year's goals And because we're in the process of so many big things, the economic development plan, the NOAA facility little plan, the task force on Treadwell, the task force on the aquatics board, the marijuana issue, which is another issue that I have listed to talk about that day. It might not be that we have to get involved in that yet as an assembly. It might be that staff has to be involved in it for the next 6 months to get some zoning regulations with community development down pat and the planning commission down pat to move forward with. So I want to make sure that we discuss that on Wednesday and that we give direction to staff of what we want to do and what we want them to do there. So I'm trying to make sure I don't miss any of these different little things to tie up. Anyway, in those five plans that we have out there, there's probably 40 objectives and goals to do. And we cannot do 40 objectives and goals in a year by ourselves. Staff cannot do them by themselves. And so we really need to pay attention on Wednesday to picking three things or five things that we want accomplished this year and moving forward with those three to five things. There's a lot of things that are ongoing right now that we have to get finished to get there. And then as we finish these different plans, we can reprioritize a little bit after each one of these big plans get completed. I have no problem with that, but we just need to set our goals now so and get them going. They are all going. So if you have any new ideas or new goals, that's fine. Bring them up, and we can discuss them as a group and settle on them. Hopefully most of our ideas are offshoots of a previous goal already, which would be nice, but some of you are more inventive than what I am. Is there anything else to come before the assembly tonight, Mr. Jones?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think you skipped the presiding officer's report, and I'd like to hear where we are with the one appeal I think Mr. Nankervis has. But I also, at least on my calendar, show the 28th of January is supposed to be another update on the Bicknell appeal. Is that still on? Has there been any changes? I know they were waiting for appraisals to be done and whatever. I was just wanted an update on that one as well.
Go ahead.
What I know is that the appraisal has happened. I don't know that they have the actual report yet.
But as far as you know, the status hearing is still on for the 28th.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Nankervis, you have, I think you're the only one that we have.
Lucky me right now. It's on track. The appeal is on track. The record has been filed. January 19th is the due date for supplements or objections to the record, and the briefings are starting on March 19th. So we're on track and chugging along.
Did I hear it was 1,300 pages long?
No comment.
And growing?
No comment.
And growing. Okay. Any questions for Mr. Nankervis, Mr. Keith?
Did we have a hearing date scheduled?
When do you go on vacation?
Somewhere. I don't have it with me. The city attorney right now, Mr. Mayor. I don't have the schedule with me right now other than the briefing dates.
We were looking at
sometime in April.
I have a feeling we'll hear soon enough.
I don't remember when in April, though.
Mm-hmm. It's at the assembly meeting at the end of April. I don't have the actual date, but I do have a more accurate Bicknell status update because Mr. Palmer is listening in as I speak, and that is that the appraisal was pushed back just a little bit. The completion date is scheduled to be January 23rd. That's when they'll be able to hopefully negotiate a resolution. And I can tell you that the
assembly meeting in April is the 27th. That's when it's scheduled to be heard as an appeal.
I have April 13th.
Okay.
Beginning at 5 o'clock.
Okay, as we get closer, we'll have a firmer date.
Oh, good. That'll get it won't affect HRC. It'll affect lands.
Okay, is there anything else for the good of the order here? Assembly members? Ms. Crane first, and then Ms. Troll?
When possible, I'd like to have an update on the Gastineau situation. And this evening at Human Resources, when we had the LEPC report, while I was reading that before the meeting, the whole issue of the avalanche reports that we had gotten previously came to mind. And we had said when we received that report that we really hoped it was not going to be something that would just be put on a shelf and sit there. So I asked Mr. Matisse, told him that I would talk to the city manager. And at some point, when we have time, I'd like to have an update on that, if there is anything happening there or any potential for any action in that area. And then I would also like to just say to the city manager and to city employees, thank you very much for your generous contributions to United Way. The United Way campaign has wrapped up, I believe, within the city, and that payroll deduction program is really critical to United Way and to all the services and people that are helped throughout the community. And so a thank you to staff for doing that.
I pass that on. Thank you.
Did you want to do 2 minutes on Gastineau?
I do have a short update. AHSC conducted its inspection of the property. Mr. Barrett did cooperate in that he had someone there to open the building. It was not necessary for us to get a search warrant. We continue to hear that there are private parties who are very interested in purchasing the building, who want reassurance that should it go through a private sale with the intent to develop it, that the assembly will not want to move forward with an eminent domain proceeding. That's what I'm hearing from the private people who are looking to purchase it. What I have told them is that if there's a private sale that goes forward, that I will certainly bring it back to the assembly for further direction.
That's what we want.
Right.
It's sold.
Ms. Becker?
I just wondered, that is what we want, I agree. Do we have any, we could wait and wait and wait and not ever do anything if we're waiting and we don't know. Do we have any time?
We're not.
We do. So we were waiting for AHFC to conduct its inspection to make sure that AHFC is interested in moving forward with a partnership to develop the property. And once we hear back from them, the timeline from them is right now January 31st, that they're going to give us a somewhat firm answer. And if Mr. Barrett has not sold the party or a private sale is not in place prior to then, we'll move forward with our eminent domain proceeding.
Then that is the time, certainly. Thank you.
Unless something else comes up.
No,
I know. Mr. Keel, I just remembered that we had a little bit of an oddball.
I've been called worse.
Mr. Keel, oddball, will you please give us direction on what we're doing with the child care permitting process? I think that you kind of took that over in your committee and are working towards something there?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't have a concrete update at this point. The Lands Committee, you're recalling quite correctly, gave approval to work with staff and prepare an ordinance for the Planning Commission to start us off. The gist of the ordinance would do two things. It would reduce the number of categories in the table of permissible uses where daycares, child care especially, are concerned, and it would allow the larger centers, I think 12 kid and up or more than 12 kids, I don't recall off the cuff, in I believe all our residential zones or at least significantly more of them. And so I have worked with the law department initially, and I know that the Planning Commission was already interested in and digging into this issue, and so we will I don't believe we have the ordinance in front of them yet. I'm looking to the city attorney.
No, my understanding is that staff is preparing a staff report on the issue to bring forward to the Planning Commission.
So we will be sure and get that on their agenda and in front of them as soon as we can get that draft ordinance coordinated with staff's report.
Okay, just remember it for Wednesday during our goal setting.
Absolutely.
I think it's been on our goals for a couple of years, but I want to highlight it again. If there's any way that we can facilitate these things, I want to make sure that we're doing it. So, okay. Anything else? Mr. Hall.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, I had indicated to you that I thought it would be appropriate for us to send a letter to Governor Walker regarding his commitment to support Alaska as a capital city and at the same time encourage that the leadership within the state departments, you know, locate here. So I have a letter that just got done this morning, and it's kind of an upbeat letter. It's not a whine of any kind. It starts right off appreciating his commitment to Juneau so far, and just part of an effort to keep our capital city vibrant. We would like to have as many of the commissioners and the leadership in the state departments locate here. So, it's a letter for your signature.
Okay, and so I'm going to shorten it up a little bit, if
please
I can,
just
because it's not going to fit on the letterhead and everything. And I don't think that we want to put it on two sides or two pages. We probably want to keep it to that one page level, because otherwise we lose those guys in their reading of of documentation like this.
Yes, I did not have the letterhead to format it on, so please do.
So if it's no problem with everybody, I'll shorten it up a little bit and we'll get it out to the governor, unless there's a problem with somebody.
An encouragement of the commissioners and the directors, not just the commissioners, as many people as possible.
Forward to? Is that what you wanted?
No, I'm just in the sense commissioners to reside in Juneau.
Oh.
You know.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we want them all to stay here. Right?
Yeah.
Thank you. Anything else? Adjourn.